Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined this platform that celebrates you, you industrial hero. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. You solve problems, you innovate because you're an innovationist and you're changing lives and you're changing the world. That's why we celebrate you on this particular podcast. You know what? Industry is changing so rapidly. It's an exciting time. And if you're thinking about getting into a career, into something that is exciting, yeah, industry is it, because we are talking innovation like nobody's business. Now in the hot seat, gentleman by the name of Dean Bushy. He is with Hitachi America. He is the transportation and mobility SHME, or subject matter expert there. And I got to tell you, if there's a topic that needs to be discussed, it is definitely that one. Let's get cracking. So what's great about this? So what's cool is that Dean, massive skills. His stat card is just dripping with skills. And we talk about connected transportation systems. Now, you're saying to yourself, Scott, why would we want to do that? And it's everything moves by some form of transportation. And can we improve upon that? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely we can. People like Dean, Hitachi America, and others, they're really exploring the innovation that is needed for that particular next generation, that ability to be able to focus on the customer 100% in their transportation, in their logistics, in their supply chain solution, and it just gets down to that connected capability to be able to see exactly what's going on. It's exciting, and it can be done. This is not pie-in-the-sky stuff. This is not something that you're going to say, that is just not going to happen. We're going to still deal with it. No. Whatever we call this next normal, has really created a sort of a focus on some of the challenges that take place within our transportation system and the need to be able to bring in electrification, the need to be able to think about autonomous vehicles, just in the last mile. There are so many subjects and topics to discuss in this particular, you know, if you look at it, transportation, supply chain, you know, logistics, it's all there and connected. Before we get into it, just FYI, I want to be able to just sort of once again plant your seed. The Industrial Talk is all about education. Got it. Dean's right here, educating. It's important. You got to stay ahead of that. You got to collaborate. You don't have Dean and company, they collaborate with a number of other companies to be able to come up with solutions that truly meet customers' needs. And then definitely innovate. The future is truly an innovationist type of platform. It really pushes the envelope, and it's an exciting time. The Industrial Talk platform is sort of going through an upgrade, shall we say, an Industrial Talk 2.0. That means we want to be able to facilitate that education, get the greatest and latest information on whatever you want to talk about, that innovation that's out there that will make you a better company, that will make you a better professional, and to be able to collaborate with these individuals that will say, hey, we want to do it with you. We want to be able to create and change the world by collaborating. And then finally, deploy an innovation that truly transforms the world. That's what Industrial Talk is all about. That's what the 2.0 focus is going to be on. There's a lot of great stuff out there, a lot of wonderful conversations to have. And I'm telling you right now, this guy right here on this side of the microphone is absolutely jacked. All right, Dean, transportation mobility subject matter expert. And I mean, we just scratched the surface in this conversation. And if you go out to the stat card, it's Dean-Bushy, and that's B-U-S-H-E-Y. Find him. Reach out to him. He wants to connect. And he is an absolute wealth of knowledge. And I'm telling you, once again, we're just scratching the surface because when we start talking about connected capabilities, we're talking about utilities. We're talking about the necessity for cybersecurity. It just never stops. All right, let's get cracking. Enjoy the conversation with Dean Bushy. Dean, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for finding time in your schedule to talk to the listeners. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
I love it. And he's with Hitachi America. He is a subject matter expert when we start talking about transportation and mobility, but I'm not going to talk about it. You're going to talk about, give us a little 411 on who Dean is and where do you come from and why you're such an incredible professional.
Sure. I've got a military background. I spent 25 years in the military as a pilot and commander leader.
So hold it. You just can't gloss over that. I'm looking at your stat card out on LinkedIn, and I'm still trying to find pilot, and that would have been just really great to include there because I would be just all geeked out now. Now I'm geeked out. Now you caught me off guard because I'd rather talk about
that. Well, if you want to talk about flying airplanes, I love flying airplanes. I went to the Air Force Academy, and I went down to pilot training in Arizona. I spent three different tours overseas, flew seven different airplanes, got some combat time, flew unmanned aircraft. So I did a lot of different things in the military, which prepared me for long-range transportation. A lot of the time I spent was in C-5s, the biggest airplane we have. So we were talking about how to optimize the flow of goods and services and people.
Oh,
so that was my first introduction into transportation mobility. And then I got a PhD in computer science, went back to the Air Force Academy, taught back there a little bit. But then they put me out in unmanned aircraft, where we were trying to have the aircraft deployed overseas and the pilots back in Dallas or in Las Vegas or in Washington, wherever the pilots may be. So we were trying to optimize the flow of information back and forth, the video and the command links via satellite to airplanes that were long range in a bunch of different places.
So was there ever a delay? Like, I mean, if you get that distance, if you're flying over, you know, seas and you've got your command here in North America, that was there ever like an information delay?
Yeah, there's a 3/4 of a second delay each way. So when I move this way with the stick, 3/4 of a second later, the airplane will do that. But it takes 3/4 of a second to come back for me to realize the airplane did that. So it's about a second and a half delay via satellite, which makes it really tough to land via satellite. That's usually why you have a local unit that captures the airplane and lands the airplane locally.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation that I would love to have. I think that's just, but we can't because this is Industrial Talk and we got to talk about transportation and mobility and the challenges associated with it as I push that whole other subject to the side, and I'm not very happy with it. Thank you very much, Dean. I appreciate you catching me off guard with that.
Sure.
Anyway, a lot of conversations with a lot of professionals that have been on the Industrial Talk podcast talk a little bit about that the challenges going forward, mobility-wise, the transportation, the challenges, this whole conversation about automated vehicles and autonomous vehicles, all of that is just this big soup of interest. But how do you make sense of it, and where do you go? Where do you start first, Dean?
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion. So I view transportation as, going back to the old movie, planes, trains, and automobiles. And it's really moving people and goods across all of those spectrums. So if you get focused just on making a car drive itself or making a train super efficient and on schedule, I think you're missing the boat. Really, for me, it's about getting you or a package from its warehouse to its final destination. And then that involves a lot of different modes of transportation, whether it's the delivery guy, which is last mile, whether it's putting it on a train, putting it on a ship, putting it on one of my airplanes, and I'm going global. All of that comes into factor. So you as the customer, and we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, you don't care where the package started. You just want it tomorrow. Well, that's a whole transportation system that's got to be integrated, optimized, examined. And then from a company like Hitachi, where we're really into optimizing the flow of information and goods and services, that's where we can come in and make a big difference.
But it is an information question, right? It really is. I mean, I think the infrastructure, sure, it could be optimized, but it's really a collection of data and that ability to be able to decide on what that data means, right?
You are correct. And you would actually maybe or maybe not be surprised at how a lot of this information does not flow smoothly. There are different APIs. So if I'm trying to get information from a cell phone and an autonomous vehicle and a train and maybe a traffic stoplight, all of those have sensors. They're all information providers, but that information doesn't actually talk to each other real smoothly. So the key to make a connected transportation system, and that's really where my
focus. That's the term. Go ahead.
That's the secret sauce. So connected transportation system, making it smart, which is what you were hinting at, is getting all those various data sources to one, communicate, and then one, you need, and then two, you need to adjust them. And three, you need to make smart decisions for you. If you're the customer, I need to be able to answer questions you may have, like, how do I optimize the flow of this traffic through this neighborhood? Or how do I optimize the flow of my pallet from beginning to end in its journey?
See, this is where it seems like a huge challenge. I mean, it's massive. Because if you just go out to the interstate, you see trucks. You know, you go to the rail yard, you see a bunch of, I mean, it's just full of stuff. And we move stuff all over the world, right?
Right.
And in that network, there's inefficiencies. Where do you just sort of, from your perspective, where do you just start? Like with that incremental approach? Yes, we got this. Yes, we're talking about this, but let's just start here. Greatest bang for the buck. How do you answer that? I don't know how you start. I mean, you brought up street lamps, and I'm like, yeah, you could do that too. You know, I mean, geez.
Well, I really think you need to, from a business perspective, you need to focus on a customer. So if my customer, for instance, we have a customer in Florida, just outside of Orlando, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and they've got a private community, and they're really interested in the smooth, seamless flow of people through their community. Well, that brings up one use case. Now we've defined this whole transportation system gets really, I don't want to say simplified, but it gets focused on how do we integrate their micro transportation, which is the shuttles and the scooters and the small bikes to their connected transportation. They have autonomous vehicles that are going through the community. That is their bailiwick. So I focus on that and we get into a use case problem. Then we talk to you as the customer and say, what are your pain points? What are you not doing? Well, nothing talks to one another. And then we start exploring, okay, well, that's a pain point. And maybe Hitachi can help you do all of it, but most likely Hitachi will not. And we found that it's better for us to say, all right, if we can define the pain point, we can start to evolve solutions with you. We co-create solutions with the customer and then say, well, maybe we need to bring Intel in, or maybe we need to bring Amazon Web Services with their cloud storage devices. And now we have the power of Hitachi, Intel, and Amazon Web Services jointly coming with a solution to a problem that you as a customer wants. You get a solution, then we have a joint solution that's probably, from our perspective, business-wise, repeatable. Now we have a solution that maybe Las Vegas will want, and Miami will want, and San Francisco will want.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the necessity to collaborate. I don't think, and it's not a slam on Hitachi or any other company, I think the use cases are that complex, and for a company to be able to say, yeah, we can do it soup to nuts, I don't think so. It requires, you know, that collaborative desire and mindset. I just think it is, and that's the right way to do it.
Another one we're trying to, I'd say, tackle. Another use case we're examining is multimodal at a freight level. So if you think of a ship going across the ocean, it's got all these pallets on it. It's got all these cargo bins on it. It has a bill of lading. Well, when it gets to the port, there's a separate system that gets it off of the boat and puts it on a train. It needs a new bill of lading because those systems don't talk to one another. Well, when it gets to the trucking yard where you're trying to truck it, it's got a different bill of lading. So this multimodal smooth flow of goods and services requires, it sounds really simple, but it's not. You need sensors that tell you where the packages are. You need optimized scheduling routes. You need companies that have great sensors, companies that have cloud-based storage, and no one company can do that. So now we start to collaborate and come up with some solutions, interim solutions, as we're moving towards an optimized solution.
The necessity to generate new bill of ladings, is there a solution or a use case that says, hey, from overseas manufacturing all the way to destination, whatever it might be, whatever that is, there a way of being able to consolidate that solution, that technology, the bill of lading? Or does
Absolutely.
It
Absolutely. A lot of it's legacy, obviously. A lot of it has been in place. And once we start digitizing and making everything less manual and less paperwork wise, you're going to start seeing a lot of solutions. And I really enjoy Amazon. I like working with them. They're coming up with solutions based on commerce. So money is driving them to optimize their solutions. They're getting supplies from all over the world. And you may or may not like the size and scope of their business model, but their business model is driving innovation based on money, the flow of goods. So,
And it's quite successful.
Yes, it is.
And we had this conversation prior to the podcast, and I called it the Amazon effect. And it really, because they focus on that commerce and definitely the customer, because they know that the customer's impatient. I want my, go out there. That's an interesting challenge, and they deliver. You know, now all of a sudden you get the little vans out there, the Amazon vans. They're doing the last mile. They're doing whatever that is. I can't help but like it.
And as much as it sounds like it's, you ordered on Amazon's website, it's an Amazon product delivered by Amazon Fulfillment Centers to your house. You bought it from a bunch of different companies.
It's true.
You had the shipping company, you had to have the ports, maybe you had the government involved as far as clearing those items that come in. You had local communities, you had to have roads that were able to deliver to your house. Maybe you had connected communications amongst the communities. So all of that happened, even though it looked like Amazon to you, all of that happened because you have collaborative systems working.
Yeah. Yeah. And now if I don't get a notification that my driver's 10 stops away, I'm frustrated.
Right. I'm ready to cancel my order 2 days.
Like, what's going on? What kind of service is this? So with that said, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of great and wonderful opportunities to truly, I don't know, great bottom line value, great customer service, great, all of the stuff that you so desire. Where do you see it going? Because it's not going to stop. Right. It's just not. Nobody's going to say, all right, we tried this whole supply chain thing. We're done. We're going to go back to the old way. Where do you see it going there?
Yeah, I really see a big, some people would say it's a disruptor. I'd say it's an enhancer when you start talking about the electrification of vehicles.
Ah.
I'm going to leave alone airplanes that may be electric in the future, but cars, transportation systems. When you talk about the electric infrastructure that's going to be required to support large-scale fleets that become electrical, I mean, you start at the automobile OEM manufacturers. Those plants all are producing internal combustion engines. Those plants need to be modified and optimized to produce EV vehicles. Is the battery going to be separate from the vehicle? Are you going to have battery manufacturers and vehicle, or is Ford going to produce both? Then how do you charge these vehicles? Where do you charge these vehicles? And what is the impact on the grid? Are we going to have an issue where everybody plugs in at 5 o'clock and all of a sudden the energy grid gets a hit? Probably.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with all the gas stations when you start owning an electric vehicle? Yeah. You in California or New Orleans or me in North Carolina, we may be able to find a charge station. But what happens to all those old gas stations? They have to be converted. And then how do you get those systems to talk to one another? Right now, nothing talks to one another. I think that that's why I say it's an enhancer. It's disruptive, but when you go to electric vehicles and electric charging stations, there's a great opportunity to optimize based on the communication among those stations and communication among vehicles.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Dean, the electrification of these vehicles is key for the autonomous, right? It just sort of goes hand in hand. So I've got these automated vehicles out there. I might not have the resources to be able to deliver the truck, but is that it has to be electrification.
Correct. I spent a year with Voyage, an autonomous vehicle company, and they had a hybrid. They had a Chrysler Pacifica, which was a hybrid vehicle, but everything about the vehicle had to be electrified because you had a massive computer in the back, right? You had the brains were in the back of the computer or the car that were making split second decisions based on sensors, which were all electric. So there had to be a very large electrical source of power.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's interesting.
If you start making it more than autonomous is fun, but autonomous and then connected, where it actually can transmit and receive data via Wi-Fi or LTE or 5G as it comes out, now you're getting me real excited. It's where the future is.
Yeah, see, that's right in line with your statement of connected transportation systems. It's people like you and others who think about this, you know, night and day, which is pretty cool. Thank you for doing that. But for people like me and others, it's a pretty cool future. But we as consumers, we take it for granted. I take it for granted that I'm going to get my package out there. I don't see the nuts and bolts and how that sausage is made to get that package to my front store. And now somebody takes a picture of it and says, this is where it's at. It's like, yeah, there it is. I mean, it just keeps going up, and it's just little things like that.
Well, this is almost full circle because you asked me how I was doing at the beginning of the podcast, and how do I like Hitachi America? I love it because Beverly said, Dean, we want you to stay on top of the transportation industry. We want you to stay on top of mobility, which means that my job is to make sure I'm on the cutting edge of all the innovations, and it's huge. It affects every phase of life. I think it's one of the biggest enablers or disruptors, whatever you want to call it. Transportation is going to affect everything. Obviously, COVID shut a lot down, and it's going to change transportation. But if we can enable people to be able to move about cities, and we enable the movement of goods and services, and we connect all of this, that's just real exciting to me because you're making a difference in people's life. You're not just doing something to deliver whatever. You're making a difference.
Here's a question that I don't know if there's an answer to it, but let's say Amazon's Amazon. Amazon's going to have the capital to be able to do whatever it really wants to do and to be able to innovate the way they want to innovate to benefit themselves, the shareholders, whatever that driver is. Mm-hmm. But what about the mid to small companies, that price point, how do they participate in this brave new world?
I think there's lots of opportunities. I do a little teaching on the side to computer science students, and we talk about several facets on how you can get into this, whether it's the passenger experience in the vehicle. Maybe you're designing a new infotainment system or a connected system where that if you're driving by a coffee shop, you get a pop-up of a coupon on your phone saying, hey, I recognize that you're virtually in front of a coffee shop. Maybe it's the EV design. You're designing batteries and you're doing a computer design of what we would call a digital twin, a simulation. Maybe you're helping with the mobility phase of it. There's just so many avenues for people to get in this game. And yes, digital companies tend to expand and then contract and then merge very quickly. But so do computer science technicians. They spend a year at a company and they're going to a next company and they're doing amazing things. So it's really exciting time to be a technologist in this EV changing world because there are so many paths. And these small companies is where it is.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on that. That's true, and it's the it appears that the it's true blue ocean opportunity, and it's not even bound by your imagination. You can, if you can think it, you could probably execute upon it. You might be able to find somebody to help you and work through it. It's pretty good, but you know what you just said. It's sort of Minority Report-ish. The movie where you're driving by and it's like, hey, look at that. This coffee shop has something on for sale. Hey, you need a shirt. You were talking about the shirt. Here's a shirt for sale right next to you. Yeah, it's, you know, it's and going there.
And you we even haven't even touched on cybersecurity.
That's a whole other thing.
Connecting all these transportation systems.
God, that's a good one.
Somebody's got to be smart enough. And hopefully it's the kids that I'm teaching. They're smart enough to start developing systems that are secure, robust, and reliable, and have backup systems. Because when you connect two things, there's a source of intrusion. There could be a source of intrusion.
That's a whole nother conversation. I like the conversation about cybersecurity because I think that it's one of those topics that nobody wants to have, but everybody has to have it.
It's okay when it's working fine. I just don't want to know when it's
yeah, right, exactly. I don't come to me and let me air my dirty laundry and say that no, it's that's a whole nother conversation. And yes, if you know somebody within Hitachi America that wants to talk about cybersecurity, I'm all ears. Or all headphones. Or all my
definitely, whatever. Yeah, I definitely have some people that would love to talk to you.
Because it is a great topic. And it's like you said, and I think that we just, there's that human element. The gravity of it is so, it's like overwhelming. And the same thing in the world of cyber, in the same thing with the this whole digital journey. It's, from me, simple mind, it's overwhelming, but it's exciting at the same time.
One particular use case that's a little bit outside of mobility, but I've tended to become a utility infield player for Beverly, just whatever she needs help on, I plug myself into. We were designing some advanced energy management systems for a town outside of Orlando. And basically it's grid load balancing. If you think about what happened in Dallas, yes. All the demand and peak demand cycles. So connecting buildings, whether the energy source, the grid source is traditional grid or it's solar or floating voltaic cells, or whatever you want to put, EV charging stations, connecting buildings and parking garages so that they manage the load much better. Building says, hey, I've got a real high load, and the feeder from the Orlando utility company says, hey, that's a pretty high spike. Some of the other buildings can come in and go, okay, well, we have excess capacity.
Yes.
We're talking. Well, so that introduced a connected system. We immediately had to go to our cybersecurity people and say, all right, we need to have you part of this project to say, hey, there could be intrusion since we're communicating wireless. Yeah.
God, I love it. It's exciting. And it just seems like the speed at which all of this is happening is lightning. It because you guys just sort of sit around, I don't know, hang around the water cooler and, you know, chirp about how we can digitally transform everything in the world.
Yeah. I really wish I was 20 years old again, because I think the next 20 years is going to be amazing.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, let's put it this way. We're going to have to wrap it up. However, how does somebody get a hold of the Dean?
Well, you can hold me at Hitachi. So I will provide you my email address. It's dean.horshi.hs @hitachi.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out on the web. I've got several different places where you can see my writings on Hitachi. They're out on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's usually a great way to get a hold of me too.
Which is pretty cool, because you've got Dean-Bushy, which is very, you were an early adopter to LinkedIn. It must be, because I'm sure there's other Dean Bushies.
I live in the digital world. I live.
it's dead sexy. I'm telling you, it is, man. I geek out. I'll be the first to do that. But thank you, Dean, for finding time in your busy schedule and sharing with us a slew of information and insights. I'm overwhelmed now. You're a disruptor. That's what you are, Dean.
All right. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, listeners. Hey, we're going to be wrapping up on the other side. All of the contact information for Dean will be available. And really appreciate you joining the Industrial Talk podcast, where we celebrate you, industry professionals. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. A big, big kudos to Dean Bushy. That's B-U-S-H-E-Y. Mad stat card out there on LinkedIn. Told you the information and the content would be just absolutely to die for. Man, I'm telling you, I'm just digging the innovation. And where's it going? What does it look like? What are we going to look like in 10 years? Not a clue. But I guarantee it's going to be different. And it's because of people like Dean, Hitachi America, and others pushing the envelope, wanting to collaborate, definitely want to innovate, all there. All right, reminder, Industrial Talk 2.0. And that is where you're going to go. That's where you're going to go to educate. That's where you're going to go to collaborate. And that's where you're going to go to innovate. And you're going to find people like Dean Bushy out there. And you're going to reach out to that guy because you need to, because he sees the future and others on the Industrial Talk podcast. Absolutely true. So do not hesitate. Go out to industrialtalk.com. Find out more. All right. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with people that are bold, brave, and daring greatly, and you will change the world. We will be back with another great interview shortly.